The Data Reaper podcast is a companion which provides extra insight into the weekly report found at viciousyndicate.com. Join us for a deeper dive into the numbers to help you improve your Hearthstone game.
Hello and welcome to the Data Reaper podcast. I am your host, Ridiculous Hat, and I am joined as always by Captain Cookie himself, Zacko. Zach, how you doing?
Captain Cookie?
I don't know. I was looking at the characters in the Deadmines here, and I like that one. He's a Murloc, but he's a cook.
Oh, okay. I didn't even realize. I'm not into the Deadmines lore just yet, Hat.
Okay, well, we got to talk about it. You didn't ask me how I was doing.
Because I was thrown off by Captain Cookie. So how are you doing, Hat?
I'm doing all right. How are you, Zach? How are you?
I'm doing okay. We're doing fine.
We're in rare form because finally we have new cards. Thank goodness. We weren't sure what we were going to talk about this week, but Blizzard saved us with new cards.
Yeah, we thought maybe we'd talk about tournament lineups. Maybe we'll give you a guide about tournament lineups. No. Let's just talk about the new cards. Because I was dying for new cards for like a month. Like this mini set has been so delayed that, you know, when you think that something is coming and then it's just, yeah, it's the worst. So
it's finally here. We have reveals over the weekend. We have a confirmed date for when it's coming. We have the longest patch notes I've seen in a long time. 6 different formats getting patched, but constructed, standard, gonna have new cards as of this time next Tuesday. So there won't be a report next week, but we're gonna have a podcast out. It might not be exactly at normal time, but it'll be the weekend of the 6th and 7th, within that ballpark to get some early impressions of what the new meta will look like after the introduction of cards from the Deadmines. So, if you want to know about what's going on in current standard, check out the report, but we're in a holding pattern. But if you want to hear us talk about new cards, here we are. And we're going to go class by class order and start with Demon Hunter. We're going to start with Need for Greed. It's a 5 mana Demon Hunter spell. It has tradable. Draw 3 cards. If drawn this turn, this costs 3. The assumption here, by the way, if you have any cost reduction effects, should work similarly to how I-Beam works, that even if you discount it, if the text is active, it should always cost 3. And there's nothing that discounts tradable cards currently, so it'll just, even if you have Big Kurtress in play or whatever, and discount it through Sigil of Alacrity, it should just cost 3 if it's on, if it's drawn this turn.
Yeah, so this card is good in Quest Demon Hunter, and then it's not that good in Quest Demon Hunter. It's really good pre-quest completion, but it's kind of meh after quest completion. I guess it's not that bad even after quest completion because all of your cards are cheap, so any kind of draw is going to be good. But before your quest completion, then this is really powerful, right? It's very easy to just complete a phase almost by itself.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if it's not the right moment to play it, if you've drawn it too early, you just trade it away. I'm not sure, like, current Quest Demon Hunter, like the LSDH runs this, but I think this could be a good card.
I think this could be a good card in April, because I know that we haven't really processed the reality that someday Standard won't have Skull of Gul'dan in it. But when Skull rotates, we might have a Need for Greed.
I don't know, but Skull Gul'dan doesn't see play right now. I don't know, I feel like
sees play in Fel and Death Rattle.
Like, in Lion's Frenzy, Demon Hunter, I can see this being played. I think this card could be good. I think there are situations where this card is like significantly better than Acrobatics. So I don't know. I think this card's okay. It's not amazing, but it seems all right.
I'd be surprised to see it in Demon Hunter lists now. Like, the upside of Acrobatics in the quest deck is that after Showdown ticks, you get to play 2 cheap cards and go further with Acro. And also that the discount on Acro, if you draw Acro itself on a turn where you discount, you get to carry that discount over. But if you draw this off quest, then it goes to 4 when you're done. It gets more expensive the next turn. So it just seems a little bit too awkward to me in the current builds as they are, and I don't envision more cards making the format slow down. I can see this in a future world where Demon Hunter has fewer tools, but not one where it has more. It just seems kind of clunky. But if we get to the point where we have fewer options and maybe we don't have Skull and we need some larger chunks to draw, then this could totally be worth it. Or if we end up with a really low curve aggressive Demon Hunter deck, if you're consistently playing this the turn that you draw to refuel, then this is probably pretty valuable at 3 mana.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. I agree with that assessment. I think this card's okay, but it's not like I'm not eager to play it in Demon Hunter decks right now. Just because there's so much card draw redundancy, there's so many options.
Yeah, we're not writing it off, but we're not slamming it in the deck. It's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, we're not slamming it on Tuesday. Definitely not.
Nope.
The other card, though.
The other card, Crow's Nest Lookout. It's a 3-mana 2/2 demon. Battlecry, deal 2 damage to the left and rightmost enemy minions. My assumption is that if they only have one minion, that minion takes 4 or 2 twice.
Yeah, this should work like Curtis the Legendary.
I would think so.
So, this card can be good. Does decent, like it's basically you're cleaving and you have a 2/2 on top for 3 mana. I guess it's a bit more flexible than cleave because it can hit one minion. So I think this card's okay. I just don't see a deck for it right now. I don't think I play this in Bell Demon Hunter. I don't think I play this in other Demon Hunters. Just doesn't seem like it has a home right now.
I mean, this strikes me as a card where when you have 2 health breakpoints and you want your stuff to live and their stuff to die, then it's useful. Because you have better removal options in Immolation Aura and whatever. Like, there are a lot of better ways to kill stuff, but that hits your stuff too. The reason you would play this is if you don't want to kill your own stuff and you're in a go-wide mirror match where you need to break board parity. I just don't see a lot of that right now, and I see a lot of 3 health breakpoints and not 2 health breakpoints. And this seems kind of awkward and not worth the cost a lot of the time, and also if you're against a deck that doesn't have minions, this card is bad.
Yeah, I mean, but Immolation Aura is also bad when opponent doesn't play minions. It's just that I just don't see a deck for it, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have particular synergies. It doesn't work with what currently Demon Hunter is trying to do. And, it doesn't really fit an aggressive deck because it's very undersized for its cost. So I'm not sure what deck plays this.
Yeah. It's the answer to a question that nobody is asking, right?
Yeah, this is, yeah, basically. It's also, like, it's a bit underwhelming as a body. Like, it just very situational. 3-mana 2/2, like, is very weak. So if you don't make the most out of its ability, then it's pretty dead. So I don't like it. My initial impression is that I don't like this card.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to see play.
So you play in Arena.
Especially not now.
Real good in Arena. But, like, it seems pretty custom designed for that setting. This is not what constructed cards look like anymore, I don't think.
You know what happens whenever a card is bad, people will try to make it, oh, this is good in Arena. That's the best sign that the card is not good enough, probably.
Yep. In Arena, it does all the things that you want a card to do.
The Demon Hunter cards are not really indicative of the rest of the set so far.
No. Need for Greed is fine, but yeah. We've gotten 2 cards in. We've got an okay card that might get better later and an arena card, and then now we have Voidwalker with Upside and Druid. We've got Druid of the Reef. It's 1 mana for a 1/1, but it's got Choose 1. Transform it to a 3/1 Shark with Rush or a 1/3 Turtle with Taunt. By the way, there is a combined form if you have Fandral or Untapped Potential. It's half shark, half turtle. Do you know what it's called?
Tell me what it's called.
It's called Druid of the Reef because Shardle did not get past the naming team.
Hmm. I see.
Can't have a Shardle. So, yeah. I don't think that'll come up much, but I thought it was funny. So, 1 mana 3/1 Rush or 1 mana 1/3 Taunt seems insane. seems like unbelievable.
This
goes
insane.
This
is cracked.
This goes and taunt Druid the second that it becomes legal.
This gets copied by Oracle of Alun as well. So you can rush like for 4 mana. You're playing Oracle of Alun. You played this. You have 2 3-1 rushes or taunts, but the rush is just so insane for 1 mana. What? Like, this is basically Holy Smite on a body, and this card is just cracked. I don't know what else to say about it. It's just cracked. Like, you get to choose between Voidwalker and an insane removal option, and you can very easily copy it because of Oracle of Alun. Like, this always goes in Tondruid. And then, I don't know, maybe other Druid decks also play this, but this card seems like an insane upgrade for Tauntruid. It's so good. Just cracked. I don't know what else to say. This is just nutty.
I think it's the best card we've seen so far. There's a couple other options, but this is the one where, like, I know exactly where it's going the first day.
This is just a blind 4 out of 4. Like, you know this card is going to... You're going to play against it on Tuesday. 100%.
Yep. I would play this today in Druid right now if I could. It doesn't get discounted by Razormane Battleguard, by the way, which I think is a good thing, because if you need to play the taunt half first, you
oh,
can still...
Oh, really? Yeah, you think that's a good thing?
I
oh,
do.
It's so unfortunate that this card doesn't get discounted
by
Battleguard.
No, I mean, it's good because then you get to play the other taunt. Like, you can't screw up the sequencing, because I don't want to discount this. I want to discount the 2-mana taunt and then also play this. I don't want to use up the discount.
Yeah, this card is... just nuts. Like, yep. What? When I read this card, I didn't understand what was happening.
Yeah, I'm surprised that it's got 3s on it as a 1-drop.
3-1 rush? What? Okay.
Yep. Really powerful. Really, really strong. It's the only Druid card we've seen so far, and already Druid is the winner of the set, I think. We've got a couple Hunter cards. The first one, Defias Blastfisher, seems to be trying to make the rat deck work again. 5-mana, 3-2, Defias Blastfisher, it's a pirate. Battlecry, deal 2 damage to a random enemy. Yes, it can go face. Repeat for each of your beasts. So for every beast you have, you shoot another cannonball. Seems to be a piece in the deck that they are half-heartedly committed to make working with Sindori Scentfinder, the 4-mana 1/6 frenzy that makes 4/1s with Rodent Nest that spits out a bunch of rats. But it's so fiddly and precise, much like every other card in the I'm holding up air quotes rat deck. It's a 5-drop. Like, that's, I don't really understand what's going on here.
Why is this a 5-mana 3/2?
I don't know, man.
Why is this a 5-mana 3/2? I mean, if this deals, let's say there are 2 beasts. Okay, let's say there are 2 beasts on the board, and this triggers 3 times. Is it even that good?
5-mana 3/2, deal 2 damage to random targets 3 times, like shoot 3 missiles. I wouldn't go out of my way for it.
I mean, I guess it becomes a slightly worse Dynomatic. Like, think about this in Dynomatic.
That's quite the sales pitch. I really feel compelled to do this. And you have to work so much harder for it.
I mean, just compare it to Dynomatic. Like, this is so sad. This card is so sad and upsetting.
This can go face, like, at least. I don't know.
Which makes it worse, because, like, for board control, like, this is not reliable as a swing back card, because you're playing... What are you playing? You're playing a 4-mana 1/6, right? You're playing a bunch of undersized bodies. So you're losing the board, and this doesn't even reliably help you come back. Sure, it goes face, yeah, but in what world does your opponent let you get value from it in that manner? And, like, this is just... Yeah, this card is just... I don't understand why it's 5-mana. I think this card could be 4-mana, and maybe you would think about it a little bit, but yeah, this card's just trash. It just seems bad. Like, I just gave you a good scenario for it, and it's worse than Dynomatic, in my opinion, so
I don't
like
really
it at all.
Yeah. It seems like they're so half committed to making this strategy work. Like, nothing feels pushed at any point in the Hunter token strategy. They're so scared of it for some reason. I don't know why.
I don't understand. What is there to be scared about?
I don't
know.
Like,
it's a board-centric deck. All I see is high mana cost and small bodies. That's all I'm seeing when I see this archetype. Like,
it seems like the kind of deck they'd want to be good, too, because it's, like, super synergistic and really board-heavy, and it's about making a bunch of beast tokens, and it's hunter but not face. I feel like they'd push some element of it, but none of it is pushed. It's all held
back. Nothing is pushed. It's all garbage. It's all just garbage cards and more garbage cards coming in to support the garbage cards, so you need to play additional garbage cards to make the other garbage cards less garbage. It doesn't work. Like, this is not the payoff for that kind of deck. Definitely not. I can't see it. I mean, yeah. This card's just sad.
I don't get it. We do have another Hunter card, Monstrous Parrot. It's a big bird. 4 mana, 3-4, Beast. Battlecry, repeat the last friendly death rattle that triggered. You're going to have a cycle of these throughout the set so far. A bunch of birds that say, the last X. It does not limit to this turn. So it's just whatever
death
rattle.
It's amazing flavor, by the way. Having parrots do that, that's great.
They repeat.
That's just great.
That's what parrots... Oh,
flavor
I get
design.
It. I didn't think of that before right now.
Wait, what? Are you serious?
No, Zach, I needed your five-head thoughts. I didn't realize that.
Wait, you really didn't understand the whole point of them being parrots and them parroting the last thing that occurred? You really didn't get that? Wow, Hat, I'm so surprised. As a pun master, I am extremely surprised by your inability to comprehend that.
It's actually entertaining to me that the person to understand the linguistics of this is the one who English is not their first language. That's kind of funny to me, too. That I missed this as a native speaker.
English is kind of my... It's not really second language. It's more like one and a half kind of thing.
I'm not trying to put you down. I'm trying to put me down. That I am a person English is the only language I speak, and I still didn't figure out the nuances
it's
here.
It's a little weird. I thought you would, like... When I saw these cards, I would thought, oh, yeah, there's definitely going to be a pun from Hat in this podcast. And instead, just flies over your head like a parrot.
Zach, you're just...
Oh, I'm on a roll. I'm on a roll.
I'm loving
Who's
this.
Who's the pun master now, Hat?
I don't even care. This is my favorite development so far in every episode we've ever done of you correcting me on clever language and then making a pun. Best episode we've ever done. It's not even close. It's all downhill from here. Anyways, we can talk about the card now after I continue reeling from my defeat. So, 4 mana, 3-4, Battlecry, repeat the last friendly death rattle that triggered. It does not care about this turn. What death rattle does Hunter even have right now in Standard that we care about doing, especially ones that cost less than 4? I can't
think of too
many. I
looked at all of them.
Oh, no.
Bloated
That's unfortunate.
Python.
Oh, boy. Ugh.
Bloated Python, Hat. Bloated Python. I mean, in theory, this does seem good. Like, you play a Bloated Python, you pop this, and you play a 4 mana 3-4 that summons a 4-4. That is good, right? But it's not like... I still want other reasons to play Bloated Python, right? It's not a card that I'm eager to play in my decks.
Or Death Rattle Hunter is not a thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a thing, but it's a very bad thing right now. Now, I will say that Monstrous Parrot is a good card. I do think that for that deck, this is a good card. It has an immediate impact. It's not reliant on you having board to activate. It can scale pretty well in the late game, because if you're playing big death rattles, bigger ones later in the game, then this card can activate them. Like, I don't know, Tonk. You activate Tonk with this. That seems kind of cool in theory in the late game, but it's just that the archetype itself is so frail that I don't think that this is enough to really push it over the edge. I would have liked to see something better than Python as a death rattle to support this, or maybe alongside it just to increase the consistency on having like something that produces board.
Yeah, we still have 19 cards to go, and one of them will probably be a Hunter card, but, like, we really needed more synergy pieces here, and instead we got Defias Blast Fisher.
Yeah, but I do think this card is, like, good. It's just that, like, there's no, like, Defasol Egg kind of thing. I guess Python is almost like that. It's just, I don't think it's consistent enough, right? I'm not eager to play Zixir and activate this and get and shuffle and like that doesn't seem like a thing. And yeah, and Tonk is just too slow for this meta. And yeah, I think this card is fine, but the archetype is just not there.
Yeah. This is a piece, right? Like, this is a piece, and it could very well be a relevant one, but we don't have anything else to go with it right now that we can play with a straight face. And I think that's... we've still got some waiting to do. So, I don't know.
But this does remind me of Stalker, the 3-3, and that card was good with Devosaur Egg, so... I can see a world where Parrot becomes good. It's just about support, but this is a good step in the right direction when it comes to the archetype.
And I like that it doesn't need the Death Rattle to still be on board.
Yeah, that's a big part of why I like this card so much. Because it's not like Machnathal Lion where you're dependent on having a Death Rattle stick to activate. This is just, this flies off whenever. So if Hunter like got an additional Death Rattle that created board like Python in the early game, and you would consistently be able to fire this Parrot away on turn 4 and make a good play, then this could be quite good. But yeah.
Yeah. Nothing there yet. Speaking of nothing there yet, let's talk about the only mage card we've seen so far, and oh boy, 8 mana 6-6, Gray Sage Parrot, it's also a beast. Battlecry, repeat the last spell you've cast that costs 5 or more. I looked at the expensive mage spells in Standard. Oof. Ugh. Flamestrike, Massive C'thun, Grand Finale,
I have
Deep
a strong
Freeze.
Suspicion, Had, that this is not going to make people stop playing Quest Mage. This is not the card that makes people say, oh, Incantus Flow, not that good. Because now I have this Parrot where it costs 8 mana and it repeats an expensive spell that I need to cast for a lot of mana too. Like, what am I even doing with this card? Like, why is this card in the set? Like,
do we need the third Mask of C'thun that badly?
This is so bad. Wow, this is so slow. Like, the thing is, like, look, like the thing that I don't like about this card that I like about Parrot is that Parrot, you don't need, like, the monstrous
this is
parrot
also
is parrot. That you,
yeah, about Death Rattle.
Yeah, they're all parrots, but the monstrous parrot, like, you're not, you don't need to invest a lot of mana to activate it on curve. But here with Gray Sage Parrot, you need to invest a big spell before to get to turn 8 and play this. In the current Stormwind world, this just doesn't seem realistic. And it's not like the meta is going to slow down because of these new cards. So I just don't see it.
Yeah, I am skeptical that we're going to change Mage's play pattern by adding an 8 drop that leans onto spells that we aren't currently playing.
Yeah, but I do like the Parrot thing. The Parrot
do.
Flavor is very good. And the next Parrot, I think, is good. Let's talk
the
about
Paladin
that
Parrot, Sunwing Squawker, 4 mana, 3-4, Battlecry, repeat the last spell you cast on a friendly minion on this, also a beast. If you played a Hand of a Doll, this becomes a 5-5 draw a card. If you play Librum of Wisdom, you get another Librum of Wisdom in rotation. Noble Mount, it's a 4-5 Divine Shield that drops a 1-1 Divine Shield. Blessing of Authority becomes an 11-12. And if you're in Wild and somehow you manage to stick a Spike Ridge Steed, then good luck, minion decks.
And you can even play a Librum of Hope on a minion a turn before to set this up. If you don't need the healing, you could still do that. I do like this card a lot. I think this card can be powerful. Like, even with Hand of a Doll, a 4-mana 5-5 that draws a card, that's nutty, right? It's clearly very good. And again, you can play the Hand of a Doll early, and a few turns later, you play this, and it just activates. It's just very easy to activate, especially when you have Knight of Anointment in the deck. Obviously, this card works fantastically well with a Blessing of Authority. It's just good. Just seems very easy to make work. Good parrot.
Yeah. I expect this one to fit rather seamlessly into what paladins are doing. Like, you look at the difference. The mage one, you have to warp your deck around what you're repeating. The paladin one, you just have to play paladin cards when you want to play them, and this card is good.
Yeah, I think that's the big difference, and it's just cheap. Like, it doesn't need a lot to be strong on curve, so I like it. I think it has potential in all kinds of paladin strats.
Yeah.
It's very annoying with Noble Mount, too.
It really is. I think that combination is going to be good. And imagine if you're in a world where, like, you Noble Mount something. Like, you have one drop, you Noble Mount on two, you Banana Man on three, and then you play this on four, and you end up with a 5/6 Divine Shield. Really, really annoying.
Yeah. This just seems good.
Yep. We've got a couple Priest cards here, including one that brings back everyone's favorite priest mechanic, Resurrection. So this card is interesting, though. I do like the design because I think it's kind of funky. So, Amulet of Undying is a 3-mana tradable spell. It resurrects one friendly Death Rattle minion. The Death Rattle part is very important. Resurrect one friendly Death Rattle minion. Upgrades when traded. So whenever you trade it, goes up to 2 minions, 3 minions, 4 minions, etc. It does not have a cap. And it is a shadow spell. I think that's important, too.
This is a super interesting card in terms of making me want to play Boar Priest next week. It's our time, Hat. It's time to play Boar Priest.
It is. So, like, the Death Rattle restriction is fascinating. I had an idea with this card, and what I was thinking is there have been a lot of times where I do, like, the Raise Dead and Twilight, what's the 2-mana 2/3, you know what I'm talking about, that draws a shadow spell from your deck. When you run
the Scepter.
Yeah, Twilight Deceptor. When you run out of spells, if you have this one, if this is your last spell, Raise Dead Deceptor, draw this, trade it back, play another Deceptor, run it back, and you end up getting this cycled a few times, and you can bring back maybe the 3-mana 4/3 that domes your opponent, the big Leper Gnome. But you have to be playing a bunch of Death Rattle minions, and I don't think we normally play that many. But I think there's a way to focus your spell pool that you end up trading this and drawing it back and trading it and drawing it back, and it ends up being like a mini rally. And that could be interesting. I just don't know what Death Rattle minions were necessarily getting back besides the 4/3 big Leper Gnome.
Oh, I didn't think about that. That could be good in terms of, like, because like Aggro Shadow Priest does not play a lot of shadow spells, but if you can keep drawing Amulet and activating it, that does seem like something you could do. But I'm looking more at, you know, higher value cards like Light Shower Elemental. This resurrects Light Shower Elemental.
So, could do that too, yeah.
Yeah, and like a Grindy Priest. The problem is that Grindy Priest does not work. It just doesn't work right now. And this card is not going to make that any better because the value is not the issue. The lack of value is not the issue for Priest. The issue is that people OTK you from 30 and you have insane inevitability and there's nothing you can do to counter that. So this card helps a strategy that I can't see thriving right now. But I do think that it's a cool card.
It's interesting.
It's not going to be a cool card when if it ever becomes good, then people are going to cry about it. We know that because lots of people hate Resurrection, but think about Forge Fiend, the 8-drop, and Light Shower Elemental, and like an Azoth Control Priest deck. I think this card can be very powerful in there. So, like, it scales. Like, you just keep trading. It's like almost a win condition by itself. It's almost like a Diamond Spellstone for 3 mana when you think about it. Or a Mass Resurrection. That card costs 9 mana. And now you have a 3-mana version that you can just keep upgrading. So in terms of late game scaling, this card has a lot of potential to be a big power play and a finisher. It's just the kind of finisher that doesn't translate well in the current meta. But that could change. So the way I see it, this card right now, even if it doesn't see play on Tuesday, Wednesday, and such, I can see it being eventually a meta-defining card later down the road just because of the scaling potential in the late game. This card seems very powerful. It's like a win. It's just a win condition by itself, and it's 3 mana, and you can always trade it. So, like, it's not like a 9 drop that you have, like, you draw it early and it's just stuck in your hand and causes you to lose games because you, like, you're too greedy as a deck, right? You're running 9 cost stuff. Here, this costs 3. This is nothing. So I think that, yeah, there is definitely potential.
Yep, and the shadow tag makes this a lot more interesting as a deck building exercise too, because I think that's very intentional as a potential slower shadow deck existing, like a shadow control. I think that that's definitely something they're leaning into, because this does not really play with the standard aggressive Shadow Priest decks that we're used to.
Yeah, yeah. Like you're playing Scepter, like a Shadow Priest, like a Shadow Control Priest.
Yeah.
With Light Shower Elemental and maybe Forge Fiend. And yeah, you have a late game bomb. It's just that the whole strategy just doesn't work when you're playing into 20% quest mages. That's the problem right now that I'm seeing.
Yeah.
I can't get away from that, right? Obviously.
There are a lot of people that cannot get away from quest mage right now. Shout out to Toasty from the Discord.
It's not just that. It's also like if it's quest mage, like throughout ladder, then it becomes a contact rogue at top legend, right?
Yeah,
it's also a problem.
It is. So, yeah, functionally identical in terms of you cannot possibly beat them before they kill you from 30.
Yeah.
Yep. But there are options for more aggressive priests too. We've got Defias Leper, a 2-mana 3/2 priest pirate. Yes, we're doing that now. Battlecry, if you're holding a shadow spell, deal 2 damage. I think this is going to be better in wild than in standard because the spell density of shadow spells is so much higher in wild. But in standard, I kind of like what they're doing here in that this is about as anti-synergistic with Raise Dead as it gets. If you're Raise Deading this back, you're probably turning it off and you don't want Raise Dead early. But if we end up getting into a more aggressive shadow build that has a couple more spells, this on curve is obviously the nuts.
Yeah, this can be strong. Like if you're playing Void Shard, for example,
yeah.
Like the build that was there before with some more shadow spell density, it can definitely work. Some people I saw that were really hype on this card. I'm not too hyped about this card for the reasons that you just mentioned. I think that the aggressive Shadow Priest decks are not going to have the spell density to activate this consistently on curve. And then the slower priest strategies that potentially run shadow spells, obviously it's not as powerful in those kind of decks. But I do think this card is fine. This card's okay, definitely not bad. And obviously nuts in wild, because pirate priest in wild is already a thing over there. So this adds to that. But I think it's okay. I'm actually more excited about Amulet, even though Amulet is not a card I expect to see play next week too much of. But that card has a lot more potential to me. Leper is okay, but I don't think that is enough to push Shadow Priest back in contention.
Yeah, this is a cool card that we would try out if Shadow Priest was currently like really strong, but the reason to play it does not come back with this card that is sometimes a Murkspark Eel.
Yeah.
Yep. We have one rogue card so far, Blackwater Cutlass. It is a 1-mana 2/2 weapon with tradable. After you trade this, reduce the cost of a spell in your hand by 1. This is the card that, like, if you sent this back in time, people would be like, what is this? This is ridiculous. Like, even a few years back. But if looking at it now, I think it kind of struggles to find a home.
Wait, really, huh? You think this struggles to find a home?
Where would you play
Interesting.
It? Do you like it?
Yeah, I like this card a lot. I mean, it's a 1-mana 2/2 weapon. I don't even want to trade it. I just want to play it. Like, I'm often going to want to just use it to kill stuff. It's like a 1-mana mini war axe. And the ability just seems so strong to me. Like, I want to play this in potentially Quest Rogue. I can see Contact Rogue playing this still, like discounting your shrouds and your swindles, can be very impactful. It might struggle to find space to run this card, but I don't know. This card just seems powerful. The effect is powerful. The card itself, without the tradable, is pretty good. A 1-mana 2/2 weapon is quite strong. I think this card is just good, and it's gonna eventually gonna find some deck that's gonna utilize it. Personally, I like it a lot in Quest Rogue, because Quest Rogue has 27 or 28 cards that it wants to play, and then it doesn't know what to do with the rest of what it has. And this card can definitely slot in because of that reason. Making your... And it always hits, right? This works like Nazmani Bloodweaver. It's not going to hit your Shadow Step or your prep and waste itself.
I think
it's always going to discount something. So it's going to discount your Secret Passage. It's going to discount your Swindle. It's going to discount your Wicked Stabs, maybe. It's going to discount something. So I think that makes it quite good. And just 1-mana, 2/2 combo activator. You play this with SI, helps you control the board. I think this card's just good. And whenever you're just looking for an SI card, you just trade this away. I really like this. I think Quest Rogue instantly plays this card.
I can see it in Quest. In Garrote, I think, is the deck. In Contact, you don't play this. I don't think it fits there.
I can still see it. Just because of the ability to discount Shroud and Swindle could be quite important for that deck. But I do think that there's more of a struggle for space there. Quest Rogue, you can definitely see in the data that there are some cards there that just... They're there because there's nothing better. And this is better. For me, Cutlass is the card that is an upgrade on some of the things that Quest Rogue currently runs. So I think you play this in Quest Rogue and you're pretty happy with it. It's very... having 0-mana Secret Passage is very good for that deck.
I actually
very
think
good for that deck.
The deck where I think it has the best home, I know this is going to sound strange, Poison Rogue.
No, never.
Okay, so hear me out.
No,
you
don't run that
hear
in Poison
out.
Rogue. I don't think so.
Okay, so Poison Rogue, oftentimes you want to, a lot of rogue decks don't care about killing a random 2/2 here and there, right? Because it's going to happen instantly with your Plunderers and Brain Freezes or your Operatives or SI7 Agents or whatever. But if your opponent has a Cage Match Custodian or a Menacing Nimbus and you want to kill it, you play the Cutlass on 1. Because you don't have a lot of proactive plays on 1. If you draw it later, you don't play that high of a spell density of spells that you aren't just firing out there. And so the Cutlass, the tradable, is actually relevant for you. I could see one copy in Poison Rogue, and I think on turn 1 in some matchups you just play it, and otherwise you trade it, and then you have a cheaper Cloak of Shadows or a 0-mana Secret Passage, like you said.
I don't think this card is good in Poison Rogue because pretty much it's dead. It's 1-mana draw card. I guess it's a little bit better than that, but it's unplayable. You can't actually play this after turn 3. You basically can only play this on turn 1 or turn 2.
Yeah, that's where you need the help.
And you're not going to keep this card. You're not going to keep this card in a mulligan as a Poison Rogue player.
I guess not.
So I don't think this card is good in that deck at all. But yeah, I think as someone who's been playing Quest Rogue quite a bit, I'm going to jam this straight in. Maybe instead of Wicked Stabs. This is 1-mana deal 4 damage. I can just play this and go face for 4.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
You can use it to break your Gyroblade if you want to.
Yeah, this card is just good. Having more stuff to activate SI7 agent to help you kill stuff with the 3-mana 2/4 rush. It just good. And then you can always trade it away, so.
Yeah. We also have, so next up, that's the only rogue card we've seen so far. We do have a shaman card here that has generated quite a lot of discussion. 3-mana 3/3, it's a brilliant macaw. Battle cry, repeat the last battle cry you played. Oh boy.
Yeah, this card has massive potential.
It does.
If next week this card doesn't end up seeing play, I wouldn't say I would be shocked, but I think it's just a matter of time because this card has so much potential in terms of just being so good, right? Like, this is much more powerful than the Hunter card. And I do like the Hunter card, but this is just...
It's a mana cheaper, and it's just really, really strong. It's something that Shaman's already good at.
Yeah, you don't need, like, there's no deck building cost to playing this. And it has some insane outcomes, like playing this after Dungeoneer, yep. Or playing this with Custodian as a follow-up. You draw two weapons.
Or Forgeborn is a big one.
The Forgeborn is a big one for Elemental Shaman, like, discount all your Elementals.
You got to be careful about anything that targets, because much like Bolner, you do not get to target. So same with Gyreworm, will just be a random thing. And Lurker should be a random thing that your opponent has. Also, if you're triggering off of elemental triggers, it does still check to see if you played an elemental last turn. And this is a beast, not an elemental, so it won't trigger your next elemental, of course. So you do have to meet the conditionality there. Also, we don't know exactly how it works with Bolner yet. There's not really going to be a way to figure that out until we play it. But my suspicion is that if you go Bolner then this, you get the last battle cry you played twice, and then all future battle cries you played that turn will be doubled like a brand, basically, because it plays a battle cry and then checks the last battle cry you played. It's the one you just cast, and then it should do that a second time. I think the best application I've heard for a late game, though, is with Fireheart. You have a full Fireheart turn, and then you run it back.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, right?
This card has decent early game potential and then insane late game potential. I cannot see this card not being utilized at some point. It's just too good. It's too flexible. It's too easy to fit. It's a 3-mana 3/3, so it doesn't, like, it's enough for it to have even a small effect to be pretty decent on curve, so you don't need to, like, go out of your way. Like, even if you play, like, Kindling Elemental and you play this, that's not bad either. So there's always something to do. So I think that this card is always going to see play at some point. And yeah. I can see multiple decks using it. You can play it in Evolve Shaman too.
Battle cries
are just so, like, so generalized. There's so many of them. There's so many different ones of different strategies, and having this kind of effect, it's just like being able to duplicate it and repeat it and have more redundancy for it is always going to be a powerful thing. Yeah, this is one of the better cards.
Yeah. The biggest question I have about current builds is if we're starting to run into elemental density issues. Like, if we have enough elementals to keep the chain going, if we have the room for this. But the payoff with the cards like Fireheart are so strong, and being able to Dungeoneer into Dungeoneer again might be worth just taking a turn off in the elemental chain.
Yeah, I mean, we've started running Bolner in Doom Elemental mostly for Dungeoneer, so yeah, I think this card is gonna see play. It's good.
Yep. We have a couple Warlock cards that were revealed. The first one, Wicked Shipment. It's a 1-mana spell, tradable. Summon 2/1/1 imps. When you trade it, upgrades by 2, which means it makes 4/1/1 imps. The next time it makes 6, the next time it makes 8. And then beyond that, it doesn't matter because there are only 7 board slots, and this has not changed that.
I mean, this card at its baseline is Living Roots. That summons demons.
Or Lost in the Jungle.
Yeah, it's just Lost in the Jungle. That summons demons. So it's already decent at its baseline just to play on turn 2. You have the bartender that encourages you to go wide with demons. And you can just trade it and have it scale. Which is useful, I guess. So this card seems solid. Is this enough to make me want to play Zoo? No.
No.
No, no, no. But this card is not bad for that deck. It's pretty decent.
You said deck. I think that's an exaggeration.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess people are playing
amalgamation of cards.
Yes. There's someone out there that's going to trade this and then draw it and then fire it off on turn six with Shady Bartender and feel great and then get Arcanist Immode and then concede and delete the deck.
This is very good with Bartender, though.
It is.
Like, you trade it once and, yeah, that's a pretty good board. But, it's not something that makes a deck. But it's a solid card. I mean,
it's fine. It's good. There are metas in the past. I want to play this with Darkshire Councilman. That would have been insane. Oh, man, yeah, it would have been so good.
Any sort of token synergy, any sort of, like, buff that you can play alongside it. Does Zoo have other buffs other than Bartender right now?
I don't know, man. Cabal Outfitter? Does it have Cabal Outfitter? You're going to fire that off?
I think that there was... Is that card still in Standard? Is it?
No. Rim Rally is not. No.
Rim Rally is not in Standard.
No, it's okay, the discard one.
Oh, Wicked Whispers.
Wicked Whispers. You can
this works
do that.
Well with Wicked Whispers too.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's okay. It works well with Ritual of Doom.
Does it?
There's some stuff there. I don't know how. There's some stuff there. This card's solid, but it's not going to make me want to play Zoo. But how about we talk about the other Warlock card, huh?
Let's talk about the other Warlock card. Let's talk about the Warlock Prize Plunderer, Shadowblade Slinger. It's a 1-mana 2/1. It's a Warlock Pirate. Yes, we do that now, too. Battlecry. If you've taken damage this turn, deal that much to an enemy minion. I am taking the Mortal Coils out of Handlock and putting this in.
Are we taking out Mortal Coils? I'm not sure.
Well, we're taking something out. I want to play Raise Dead and get this back.
Yeah, Raise Dead, insane with this. Unstable Shadow Blast, insane with this. Yeah, this seems like a good card for a deck that wants to deal damage to itself. Oh, turns out there's one right now in Standard. How about we throw it in? This card's good. Yep. I don't know if this is as good as Prize Plunderer just because of the flexibility of Prize Plunderer. But like, think about it, like you're playing Tour Guide, which already makes your life tap cost zero in some turns. And with Shadow Blast and Raise Dead, this can make Slinger just do a big swing. And it also, when you resurrect it off of Raise Dead, then it's insane, obviously. So, just seems like a very powerful card.
It's also worth noting that, like, you can be worse than Prize Plunderer and still be a good Hearthstone card. There's some bandwidth there.
But I can see this also in some turns being even better than Prize Plunderer. It's like, if you're, like, it works really well with Tour Guide specifically. And Raise Dead. Great synergy, and it makes me want to play two Unstable Shadow Blasts in my Warlock deck too, because that is just a big, big swing.
I'm grateful that Steeler never got to play with this card in D6. I'm grateful.
You can't play this, and it's a pirate, so it screws up admission.
Oh, it does. Thank goodness. Never mind, that deck is dead anyways.
It screws up admission. Never mind, It's not relevant. Yeah, but you're definitely going to experiment with this card. I see a lot of potential for it. Yeah. This is one of the better ones.
I like it. I have heard some people looking at these two cards together and thinking about both these and Zoo. Slinger is not a Zoo card that I see.
I think Slinger is definitely a Zoo card. Imp, Bloodbound Imp. No, I think you definitely play this in Zoo as well.
We play it again. I just don't know if it makes Zoo real.
I think this card makes Zoo more real than Wicked Chipman.
Okay.
I think you 100% play this in Zoo. Like, just Flame Imp alone, you play this alongside Flame Imp, and it's powerful. And you, obviously, Zoo plays Raise Dead.
My issue with Zoo is the things that you lose to when you play Zoo are fireballs, and there's no minions that you have to worry about removing in that matchup. Slinger doesn't solve any problems there.
Oh, it does solve problems. Like, things like a matchup like Tauntaunt.
Sure. It doesn't solve problems against Mage.
Anything that reads deal damage to an enemy minion, you instantly think about Mage, right? But when it comes to Zoo right now, the reason why it's failing... It's not just that. It's also its ability to handle board, like play matchups like Face Hunter, like Tondruid, like Paladin. And Slinger helps a lot here. Slinger gives you a way to, for example, kill an Octobot.
Okay.
Yeah, there's all sorts of applications that you're not really thinking about, but when you have a card like this that can deal a lot of damage to a single minion, like single target removal for one mana, that works this well with Razdad, you have to respect it. I think every Warlock deck that plays Razdad wants this card. And then Zoo has a lot of ways to cheaply activate it while not sacrificing anything to do it. You already want to run Bloodbone Imp and Flame Imp, so it just works well with them. So I do like this card a lot. I think every Warlock deck wants to experiment with it.
Okay, I'm convinced. Interesting that now the Flame Imp combination is the Prize Plunder, as opposed to the Void Walker, which goes in Druid. Funny how that works.
Okay. Warrior.
So, Warrior. We've got a couple cards here. Defias Cannoneer, 3-mana, 3/3 Pirate. After your hero attacks, deal 2 damage to a random enemy twice. Oh boy.
Yeah, I don't know, Hat. Why is this card being printed? Are we sure about this?
Because...
I'm not sure about this.
Because with more balls. I'm going to fire more cannonballs.
I don't know. This card... Okay, so Quest Warrior doesn't really want to run Imprisoned Gunnarg, right? It doesn't really want to do that. It doesn't really work well with the whole strategy, but any deck that wants to play that's not Quest Warrior and it's like something like a Rush Warrior plays Gunnarg on 1, you get the weapon on 3, you play this, and you swing. That seems like a really powerful early game combo. And obviously in Quest Warrior, you just shove this in without even thinking about it because you're always going to have a weapon at some point. Maybe not so much on curve, right? This isn't as good on curve, but it's a questic, right? Later in the game, you always have a weapon after quest completion. Even if not like Outrider's Axe or Scythe, Reaper Scythe are weapons with high uptime, you're gonna have them equipped for multiple turns, making it a card like Defias work really well alongside them. It especially works well with Scythe because, yeah, Scythe clears the board and then you can direct the damage to face, which this card can do. It's a no-brainer for me. Like, you're gonna play this in Quest Warrior decks and you're gonna play this in any Warrior deck that wants to play Gunnarg on 1.
Yep. I think this is the Oracle of Alun for Warrior in that it's so good that you'll probably just throw it out there on 3 a lot of the times to hope it hits, and then if you have it on turn 5, you just kind of blow people out sometimes.
It's so threatening. Like, you can't ignore this. It does have 3 health and not 4. Like, Oracle of Alun is something you can play on curve more. But the thing is, you can activate this on curve immediately if you have a weapon equipped. And you can activate this at any point in the game when you have a weapon equipped, which you're always going to have. So you swing, you clear a minion, the damage from the cannoneer clears another minion or just directs it face. You can get it off of Juggernaut, which is nuts, right?
Yep. I just envision a world where we're doing turn 4 Sword Eater trigger the, like, to finish the first save of the quest. And then turn 5, Cannoneer, Foxhail, Freebooter. Shoot 5 cannonballs.
I almost forgot about Sword Eater. Like, this is so good. Like, you can play this on curve and just threaten Sword Eater. Or you play this on 5 after Sword Eater and it just...
Yep. And you fill in with Scamp or Freebooter or, like, anything you want.
It's so much damage. It's just... And it's so... Like, it... It also protects itself in a way, right? Because you have a weapon equipped and you play this and you deal the damage, you help clear the board and seize control, but then your opponent has to respond to it or it's happening again the next turn.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is such a snowball-y card.
Quite very powerful. Very good card. If it gets going, it's going to feel pretty devastating. Yep. And the other warrior card is No Slouch either. Man the Cannons, 2-mana spell. deal 3 damage to a minion and 1 damage to all other minions. So it's a Whirlwind that hits one minion harder. And so Minefield is rotating out after the third set finishes and we get the first set of next year. This seems like a Minefield rotation.
Hat, do you really want to wait until Minefield rotates to play this card? Are you serious?
No, that's not what I said. I'm throwing it out there. Is that something to keep in mind?
When you're looking at 4-star cards, you don't need to talk about rotation.
Okay, this card's really good.
When you're talking about insane cards, who needs to talk about rotation?
Tell me about Mana Cannon, Zach.
This is a 2-mana swipe with the, like, it's a Whirlwind?
Well, it hits your minions too, so it activates Frenzy, whatever.
I am so upset at hitting my own minions when I play Warrior Hat. I'm so upset. Please don't do that to me. Like, first of all, this is for 2-mana. This is like a Dark Bomb. You can play this on curve and remove a 3-health minions. They play Battle Guard, and you could just kill the Battle Guard with the 2-mana, deal 3. You don't care about the Whirlwind, right? So early game flexibility is there, where it's just on curve, decent removal, deal 3 for 2 damage. And then, at any point later in the game, this is insane. Like, you can proc this with Barov and clear the board. This is another Barov proc. You can use it to, I don't know, for Whirlwind synergies, if you have your own Whirlwind synergies that you're concerned with.
Trigger your Toraho Brave.
Any deck that goes wide, I mean, it's already like, it's 2-mana, Hat.
It's 2-mana?
It's 2-mana. It's a swipe. It's a swipe. It costs 2-mana for a swipe. The damage to self doesn't even matter because you're playing Control Warrior. You're either playing things that you want to self-damage anyway, or your board is empty. So for 2-mana, having an effect that's nearly as good as swipe for half the mana is insane. How do you not play this? You always this.
If killing minions isn't important to you.
Sure, if winning Hearthstone games is not important for you, then don't play this.
Okay. Theoretically, you do want to play cards that aren't for minion matchups, but yes, I agree, this is quite a powerful effect. Seems really good against the Wolpertingers and Peasants of the World, and also you can kill some Razormane Battle Guards. Like, if you're worried about fighting for a board at all, this is probably something that you include. It triggers your own Frenzy if you want to make sure your Kresh goes off, you want to make sure your Anchorman goes off, other Frenzy cards you want to play. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah, I mean, this card is just good. Like, this is one of the cards, when I looked at it, I just read the text again to make sure to understand what was happening. This card is just good. Now, yeah, Control Warrior right now, I mean, it's tier 1, a top legend almost. But I don't know if, like, Quest Warrior has this space because it really wants, like, Pirate Density, and now you have this Cannoneer fella. Like, but Warrior is starting to look stacked. Like, Warrior cards, like, the card pool there starts to look stacked. It starts to be, like, a difficult decision. Like, I think that Manda Cannoneer is better than Bladestorm most of the time. Like, I think it's better than Minefield most of the time. I think it's just a card you probably want to run in your defensive Warrior decks.
I can see it. And defensive Warrior decks, yes, I think 100%. I wonder if this enables, like, a Warsong Envoy kind of thing. Probably not. That's probably ambitious, but, like...
No.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Let me dream. Let me have this.
I don't think so, but...
Okay.
But just the ability to answer Battle Guards on curve, and then the late-game scaling of this card, and how threatening it is, and how difficult it is to develop against it, makes it a big deal.
Yep. We've got one more card to talk about here. The only neutral revealed so far, and this design has a lot of ups and downs. I love the flavor, I hate the text. Golaka Glutton, a 3-mana 2/3 pirate. Battlecry, destroy a beast and gain +1/+1. I think the art is important. It is a pirate eating a Golaka crawler, which is ironic for those of us that have been around long enough to remember that thing. But yeah. Strange. Yeah,
this card is hilariously flavored, and it's pretty much a troll job from Team 5. Like, what are you, like, what? Okay.
This card better not ever be good. If it's ever good, I'm going to be so mad.
This card is the answer we needed for all these parrots coming in, right? So this card eats all the parrots, right?
Well, this is also anti-Moonfang tech. Moonfang.
Yeah, this is the answer we desperately needed for the meta tyrant Moonfang that's beginning to dominate deck lists. I guess it answers Rhino as well. That's funny. But
I mean, if I'm playing Taunt Druid and I go Battle Guard Mule and then my Mule gets eaten by this thing, I'm gonna be annoyed.
Yeah, I mean,
but I don't think we should be playing this. We shouldn't be playing this.
But it's still, people are going to be playing this because it's a hard tech card, and hard tech cards are mega baits for a lot of people that, yeah, we know about this. But I don't like the hard tech cards, and I don't like the fact that this card exists, but I don't expect it to see much play. That's the good thing about it, but you're still going to see it occasionally, and it's still going to win games because... And it's going to be stupid. I don't like it.
I'm looking forward to the trolled in videos. And I like it. I like the reference. But I don't think that they should have printed this card. I don't think they should have done it.
Yeah, this is a troll card. It's basically a troll card. I don't see the point of it. I don't like it. I think this is too broad of a tech card. Like, beasts, you can occasionally run beasts in decks that don't even have beast synergy.
Well, right? And you know how I can tell they don't want us to play this? It doesn't have tradable. Because this is the exact kind of card that if they wanted this to be good or played at all, they would put tradable on it, but they don't. So it's clearly some kind of compensation for something that they are afraid of.
This is a troll card. This is a troll card.
But, no, one Zach, of the designers, you know what it is? They're so scared of Beast Hunter. There's a Rat King deck that was dominating their playtesting sessions. And they made this.
You had somebody in initial design hat thinking about this as a troll card and just pushing it through, not thinking that everyone will approve it. And people liked it so much that they ended up approving it. That's probably the most likely scenario.
That's why this card exists. I just like to think of, in playtesting, there was a Defias Blastfisher meta that was totally warped where they needed to play this card, and that's why Blastfisher got an extra mana tacked on, and we end up with this as the safety valve in case of the Blastfisher deck.
Yes, clearly. But the thing is, this kills one beast. If you're playing token beast, yeah, this isn't for that. This is a troll
job. It's not a hard tech there, it's a soft tech against the Blastfisher build.
Yes, it kills one rat out of six. And makes Blastfisher only deal 10 damage. Good tech card, guys. Good job.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out.
This is a troll job. This card's a troll job. There's no way that this card was seriously printed. It kills an Elwynn Board. Wait, it kills any beast. Kills your beast, so you can use it to activate your own boars.
Wait, So, okay. Turn 2, Coin Python. Turn 3, Attack for 1. Glutton.
Wait a minute. Is this Coin Python Hunter synergy?
Or
is this
not a tech card?
Is this actually an activator?
If we're going first, we carry on studies on 1, we fire that out. Python on 2, Glutton on 3, Parrot on 4. Good luck winning. Good luck.
Wait, this is actually a thing, huh? This hits your own stuff.
Or are you being serious? I was not being serious.
Wait, but this kills Python. You can kill your own Python with it.
It's basically a 3-mana 7/8. That's what it is.
Do we have other beast death rattles that we can use with this?
I have no idea.
Let me check real quick.
We're really respecting the listener's time right now. That's what we're doing.
No, you're going to edit this in the thing. We're just going to check. We're just going to... Oh, you can kill your own razor boar.
I want them to hear the process of discovery. This is what we do.
Yeah, you can kill your own razor boar. And that's probably not a good idea, right? You can kill your own loan shark as a rogue. Yeah,
Are you looking for me to respond seriously to anything you're saying right now? I want to just check to see where we're at.
No, hat.
Blizzard, do you see Python, what happens when you delay the mini set? Do you see what we descend into?
Yeah, if you want this kind of podcast to not ever happen again, then don't delay the mini set. Very simple. But I like the Python interaction, Hat. What can I say? I like the Python interaction.
That's what I'm all about.
Because it usually gets ignored, right?
If you play Python,
it's a 1-2, and they don't care about it. And then,
Yep. Too many people really focused on the Python. There's not a lot of respect for that. Maybe after this podcast, that'll change. People don't want to get gluttoned. You don't want to, because you know what the initials are for Galak Glutton? You don't want to get GG'd.
Oh, no.
Imagine getting GG'd on 3. Oh.
Now I want this deck to work.
All right.
I don't think it works. I don't think there's enough support for it.
Well,
but
yeah. I think Python is cool.
Actually, the Python thing I actually like. But the other thing about that deck, the other 20 cards I have an issue with.
The other 26, maybe.
I think it has like 10 good cards. No.
We're being very charitable today. All right, so everyone, thank you so much for listening. We have extra special thanks for our VS Gold, VS Silver, and Patreon members. Thanks to so much everyone who subbed and supported this week. You can look forward to the next report after the mini set, but we're going to have a podcast next weekend, the weekend of the 6th or 7th. Don't know the exact date yet, but we're going to try and give you the early impressions meta. And of course, can't give bigger thanks to anyone other than Steven Sensei for the intro and outro. Also, want to shout out Evil Dave on Reddit for the transcriptions. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you all soon.
The Data Reaper podcast is an official production of Vicious Syndicate. Don't forget to sign up and contribute your game data to improve the quality of the weekly Data Reaper report. Instructions are available on our website, along with lots of other weekly content at vicioussyndicate.com. Thank you to all of our patrons and data contributors for proving there's strength in numbers.